Sam Thomas, maybe you could tell us about your work dealing with a community or a set of communities that is both part Arab and also multicultural in its Middle Eastern or Arabness, with both old and new immigrants, and maybe more of a microculture that's not quite as visible as some of the others. And could you talk a little bit about your work, please?
Sure. So, well, first, I must also recognize the Sheikh, Mr. Kochak, because I grew up listening to those albums. My mother was a semi-professional belly dancer, and when I later was enamored and wanted to learn more about Arab music as a musician, that was one of the avenues by which I had my appetite whet. So thank you. As far as the community that I'm dealing with in my research and living and performing in is the Jewish community in Brooklyn that is comprised of many different Jews from Arab lands and more recently as from Israel as well. The Syrian Lebanese intense early immigration still plays a big role on identity in that neighborhood. The early 20th century, as we mentioned, the Syrian Lebanese Christians coming in large numbers. It was also a time when Jews from that same region were coming to America. And that identity gets reinforced in ritual quite a lot for the Jews in the neighborhood. In addition to that, there are, since then, other Jewish groups that have come. More immigrants from Syria and also from Iraq and from North Africa, Morocco and Tunisia, and also many Arab Jews or Jews from Arab lands who have come via Israel in recent decades. And they've all kind of settled in this region together, this region of Brooklyn, because Brooklyn's large enough to have a region. They've settled together there, and there's a fluidity about the identities that that the Jews hold. But one thing is prevailing for all of them, and that is that there is this culture that for them exists as part of their background, divorced from more recent politics. Because for many, they were here long before many of the recent political events, and even for those coming since then or coming directly from Arab lands that have not had to deal with those political events as closely, their connection to the cultural roots are very strong, and music is one of the avenues by which that culture is constantly expressed and reinforced. I think I'm often asked what makes it Jewish music, what is going to differentiate it. And I think there are a couple important things to point out which are interesting. One is the use of Hebrew text, naturally. In those communities, Arabic is spoken fluently by many, and music is often performed with Arabic lyrics. However, there are many occasions where the same music has Hebrew lyrics. So the use of contrafacta, as it is called, of replacing the lyrics, is a very common practice. And this originates in the lands before coming to America, of course, as well. That's one thing. The second thing is the use of music in ritual, and specifically the use of popular music, where in traditional or Orthodox Islam, music in the mosque is obviously not something pursued beyond the chanting of sacred text, which is arguable about whether it's music. But for Jews, music is very much performed in ritual context, however, not with instruments. And so one of the things that I see as a differentiation is that for Jews, they will perform the music in a ritual context, imitating what they would do outside of the ritual context in instrumental ensembles as vocal ensembles. So all of the types of popular music that would be performed with instruments would be performed again in the ritual context without instruments. So many of the same tunes, the maqam systems are prevalently used and are really known and reinforced from generation to generation. I had an opportunity to perform a couple weeks ago at a Syrian Jewish bar mitzvah. And the ensemble, of course, was mixed. There were Jews who identified as Halabi Jews or Aleppan from Aleppo, Halab, and also Shami or Damascus. The singer was a Damascus Jew. And then there was a percussionist, Osama Farouk, and another percussionist, an Egyptian guy, Muslim, and myself, who I'm Moroccan and American very much. So we all were performing, and I was really blown away at the number of young kids that were coming up and requesting these Arab songs, these Umm Kulthum songs, these Muhammad Abu Wahab songs. I mean, they knew them by name, they wanted them, they couldn't get enough of them. Of course, that was in between the DJ sets, but they were very, very, it's reinforced. It's reinforced not only in the party atmosphere, but also in the ritual context, in the synagogue, where these songs are used for the Hebrew prayers.
That's fascinating. Thanks. Just to pick up on a couple of things that you said, I mean, the idea of musicians as ritual specialists that people call upon to make their event special, but also the idea that that musicians can cross boundaries. So you have these mixed bands playing, you know, maybe one night in a concert setting, maybe one night for dancers, but that can also go into a community and provide ritual music. And I was told repeatedly by people like Hanan Haruni, by people out in Detroit, oh, the Jewish community. You go to the Iraqi Jewish community in Toronto, they are the people to play for. That this community were real musical connoisseurs. Musicians will tell you right away who they like to play for. But, oh, you go there, they don't pay attention. But, oh, you go hang out with the Aleppan Jews. These are the ones, they just ask one request after another, and we stay there till 4 o'clock in the morning. So those kinds of things that you're mentioning, I think, are things that have been recognized. In fact, on the cover of this record, it's so interesting, two musicians standing on Atlantic Avenue in front of Allophone Records, and in the corner of the window is a poster for a singer named Musa Cohen, who was an Egyptian Jew. Now they were, you know, they weren't that many back then, but many people said, "Oh, Musa Cohen, he's this Egyptian Jewish singer, and he's wonderful, and so on and so forth."
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to point out, you know, the relationship of making music, you know, reinforces for many this shared cultural production. And also reinforces an imagination of Al-Andalus when there's this notion of coexistence. And there's a feeling that there's the ability to do that here in America as well, especially in a place like Brooklyn. So I think that's really valuable. You know, I think about many of the albums that came out and the Jewish and Arab musicians working together. And for the Jews, you know, there's this connection to that, to the music and the use of it is very much reinforcing the notion of something that belongs to them as well as to the Muslims and everybody together. And I think that's really valuable.